This evening I will be preaching from 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Now this can be found on page 1302 of your pew Bible. Hear now the word of the Lord. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. This past week, I was watching the news, and I heard the story of a 68-year-old woman who was majorly bullied while at work, while doing her job. You see, this woman works as a bus monitor. She sits on a school bus and watches the children to make sure that things go smoothly. But this past week, things did not go smoothly for her. Some middle schoolers on the bus began to taunt her and call her names like fat and ugly and old, bringing her to tears. But making her cry wasn't enough. They then began taunting her because she was crying, and they made fun of her because her glasses began to fog up. One of the students said something particularly hurtful to her. He looked at her and he said, knowing that she was a single woman, he looked at her and he said, "You don't have a family because they didn't like you so much that they all killed themselves." What this young man didn't know was that this woman's son had committed suicide 10 years ago. Now, none of these students have shown this woman love. In fact, they showed her hate through their actions. Think of a person that you don't like. This person might be another believer. This person might be in worship with us right now. This person might be annoying. He or she may be rude, arrogant, or just difficult to like. This might be someone that you rarely encounter, or it could be someone that you see every single day. It's easy to dismiss this person as if he or she is the plague. The hard thing to do is show this person some level of kindness, patience, and even love. You may find yourself venting about this person to others, but we all know that venting is just a nice way of saying gossiping. So you may find yourself saying less than favorable things about this person behind their back. Well, in our passage this evening, John has told us that we must love our brothers. So today I implore you, brothers and sisters, love your brother and know that you abide in Christ. Love your brother and know that you abide in Christ. Now, in an epistle, John has given you a new commandment, which is actually an old commandment. Look at verse 7 with me. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, we know that Christ came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so when John is writing about this old commandment, the commandment that John is referring to is the same command in Leviticus 19, verse 18, in which God tells his people, "You must love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when Jesus was asked which of the commandments is greatest by the Pharisees in Matthew 22, he responded, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." On these two commandments depend all of the law and the prophets. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, Lord Protector of England, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. Now, the execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. But when it came time, the bell did not ring, for the soldier's fiancée had climbed up into the belfry and clung to the great clapper of that bell to prevent it from striking. When she was summoned by Cromwell to account for her actions, she knelt and wept before him, showing him her bruised and bleeding hands. Now Cromwell's heart was touched, and he looked at her quietly and said, "Your fiancée shall live because of your sacrifice. Tonight the curfew bell shall not ring." This woman truly, truly loved another. Now I realize that she was in love with her fiancé, but nonetheless, she loved him more than she loved herself. And when you truly love another, you will view them as more important than yourself. Think of this young woman. See, this is the kind of love that Christ is talking about. Not a romantic love, but a love that elevates others and our minds to the point of being more important than ourselves. Now, John talks about an old commandment in verse 7. But in verse 8, John talks about a new commandment. So what is this new commandment that John is talking about? Well, it's still the same commandment found in Leviticus. But Christ has fulfilled the commandment and transformed the command. And it has been made new in Christ. The first part of verse 8 says, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you." You see, though this command is the same command found in Leviticus, it is new because it has been fulfilled and made new through Christ. Now, this does not mean that the commandment was unimportant before. It was very important. But Christ has fulfilled the command because he fulfilled it for us by showing us perfect love. Now, the gospel of Christ does not set aside God's commandments. In fact, Christ emphasizes their importance. But how does Christ and the gospel renew the command within us? Well, Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, the key here is to realize that we are to love others, because Christ has loved us. You see, Christ fulfilled the commandment by loving you and me perfectly. He fulfilled the commandment because we couldn't do it, because we're broken people. And we cannot meet the standards of the law, because when it comes down to it, deep in our hearts, we don't want to. Now, the thing that we need to realize is that we fail every single day. Every single day of our lives, we will not and cannot love our brothers the way, exactly the way, the perfect way that Christ has loved us. In reality, we naturally hate God, and we naturally hate our brother. We are naturally self-centered, selfish, and wicked people. Yet even though being a people having nothing which to boast, Christ willingly left his throne on high, he came to earth, and he died for us. He died a horrifying death so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could have life eternal with him. And through his Spirit, he enables each one of us to love others the way that he has loved us. And this love transcends the love of the natural man. You see, what Christ has done for us, he calls us to do for others, and he empowers us to do it. Now, the light of the gospel is pushing away the darkness. Look at verse 8 with me. "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Now, John is not talking about literal light or literal darkness. He's talking about the darkness that dwells within each one of you before the Holy Spirit calls you to repent and he brings you to life. The only way that this darkness can pass away is if you were effectually called to repentance by Christ. Now think about when you walk into a dark room and you light a candle or you turn on a flashlight. Now it seems that the light sort of pushes away, the darkness pushes away from the light. But if you look around to the corners of the room, you will still see shadows and darkness. You see, those shadows are kind of like our sin. Because when you were regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you were changed and you were brought into the light. But because we're human beings and we live in a sinful world, we will continue to sin. But this does not mean that you were not regenerated. For the darkness has been defeated and is passing away. The darkness is passing away because of the work of the Holy Spirit in each of your hearts. Now, as you grow in Christ, you will start to notice more and more that certain sins in your life are being put to death. Now, this is only through the work of the Holy Spirit as He conforms you more and more to His likeness. But if you walk in darkness and hate your brother, you are blind. Look at verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, I want to make it clear that this particular verse is referring to the natural man or the non-Christian. This man walks in darkness and does not follow the command to love your brother. Now, this darkness controls his actions and thinking because his mind has not been conformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. And this man walks in the way of the world. He does not look ahead to see what is to come. Now, in Romans 1, Paul explains that the natural man suppresses the knowledge of God. So though deep in his heart he believes in God and he knows that he is a sinner, he doesn't care. He doesn't look ahead. He doesn't see what is to come. This man is dead and walking because he does not look ahead and see the consequences of his actions, of his sin. I'm sure that many of you have heard that sheep are not the most intelligent animals. When spooked, sheep will often follow the direction that the herd runs. Now, I've heard stories about flocks of sheep that have been spooked, and they all just start running toward a steep ravine or a cliff. And you see, what's going on is the sheep in the back are so focused on following the rest of the herd that they're not looking ahead. They're not looking ahead to see the cliff. They don't realize that they're going to fall off the cliff and die. These sheep are sort of like how the non-Christian walks. You see, if you walk in the way of the wicked, you do not clearly see what is to come in your future. You do not love your brother, and you cannot love your brother, because hatred has filled your heart, and you were unable to realize what is to come. Think of the words found in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Now, you may become defensive when confronted about a hatred that you may feel for your brother. But here's the truth. You cannot truly hate your brother and say that you walk in the light. Now, our text in verse 9 says, "Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness." Now, some of you might be thinking, didn't you just say that I can't love my brother perfectly, but that it doesn't mean I'm not a Christian? Well, that's true. You cannot love your brother perfectly because we're all sinful human beings. But, and you see, the mark of a Christian is not perfection or perfect love. It's a state of the heart. And so in this case, you should want to be striving to love your brother. You should be striving and working toward loving all of your brothers. And you see, if you do not love your brother, you see, the scriptures indicate that if you love Christ, you will love your brother. And if you do not love your brother, then you do not love Christ. And one who says that he loves Christ and is in the light, but does not have love for his brother, is a liar. He deceives himself and others. But you see, he cannot be in the light because he's not striving to love his brother. He does not want to love his brother. And you see, like I said, this man doesn't just struggle to love his brother. He hates him. He doesn't want to love him. Now, I knew of an elementary school teacher in my hometown who had been diagnosed with a contagious disease a few years ago. Now, she did not want to believe that she was sick, and so she continued teaching as usual. This woman could not truthfully say that she was healthy, but when the principal asked her if she was feeling all right, she lied and she told him that she just had a cold. And the problem was that she was spreading this wicked and destructive disease to all of the students and staff. Now, this is sort of like the actions of the man who makes a false profession. He hates his brother, and he claims that he walks in the light. But this man cannot really truly hate his brother and say that he walks in the light. But we have this problem in the church today, don't we? There are people in the church that profess Christ as Lord, but they do not love their brothers and sisters. They don't strive to love their brothers and sisters. They don't want to love their brothers and sisters. But Paul gives us these words in Titus 1. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Brothers and sisters, if you are not striving, if you are not working toward loving your brothers, you cannot say that you walk in the light. But what about those who truly and sincerely want to love their brothers? They strive to love their brothers. They love their brothers. What can we say about them? Brothers and sisters, if you sincerely strive to love your brother, you abide in the light of Christ. Now, verse 10 of our passage says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. The one who truly and sincerely loves his brother and strives to love his brother will show fruit of the Spirit. They will show evidence through their actions that they are redeemed by Christ. Now, this is not to say that we are saved by our works. We are not saved by our works, but by him who calls. But we are one of the evidences of a true believer is found in his or her spiritual fruit. So, brothers and sisters, are you loving your friends in a way that Christ would have you? How about your neighbors and your co-workers and your family? What about Christians from other denominations? Are we showing them Christian love? Or do we get into deep theological conversations that get heated and angry and just break fellowship? Well, consider the end of verse 10 in this light. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. You see, brothers and sisters, it is possible to be a Christian and to struggle with loving your brother. And in fact, you will struggle to love your brother. But nonetheless, we must remember that we are called to love our brothers. You see, if you say that you're a Christian and that you say that you walk in the light, but that you don't show love for your brother, you may be a cause for stumbling. You see, other people may look at you and say, if that's what a Christian looks like, then I don't want to have anything to do with that religion. So we all must stop thinking that we don't have time to show kindness to Stinky Stan or self-centered Steve. We must stop thinking that we don't have time or that we'll try harder next week, because the time is now. We must work to love our brothers and walk in the light. Now, in the beginning of this sermon, I told the story of a young woman who sacrificed herself for another. This woman stood before a powerful military leader, showing her bruised and battered hands to save the man to whom she was betrothed. Well, friends, today I tell you about our elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who made a sacrifice much greater for the church to whom he is betrothed. You see, Christ alone has shown perfect love, fulfilling the command to love your neighbor as yourself. And through his Spirit, we all are enabled to love each other. For Christ alone stood before God the Father, bearing his bruised and battered hands to save you and me from certain death. And even so, we're selfish, self-centered, unlovable people. We are disobedient and we don't love our neighbor as ourselves. But even so, Christ lived a perfect life, and he willingly took the penalty that was yours and mine, so that we would not have to stand under the wrath of the Father. Friends, if you know this Jesus that I talk about today, love your brother because Christ has first loved you. Love your brother because you love and want to obey Christ. Love your brother and know that you abide in Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your perfect, infallible, and inerrant words that both cut like a sword and nourish the soul. Father, please help us each one to love our brother like you have loved us. Please bring reconciliation to those that need to be reconciled, and help us to do both of these things because we love and want to obey you. We thank you for all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now let us sing the praises.